السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
وعليكم
وبركاته.
السلام ورحمة الله.
Welcome back to another
يا أهلا وسهلا
episode.
مسيس ترافيلر.
Yeah, just got back from Thailand a few nights ago. And we just filmed the Get Ready With Me Dad Does My Voiceover. We just posted it like a few hours ago. And honestly, the feedback has been so adorable.
I was tricked into that. I didn't know what I was doing.
No, you didn't know. I knew he was coming to film with me today. So, because we ran out of content, and then a lot of people have been telling me, like, do some vlogs, some makeup tutorials, like, spicing up your social media. And I was like, okay. So I was like, I do a full face for when we film. So I filmed it, and then I just kind of ambushed you with a do a voiceover. But I think because it was so spontaneous and not pre-planned is why it was so wholesome and cute. But Sabiso, يعني, she wants to
she
press
is
buttons. Tell, please take the cat.
An integral part of this community.
All right. So, have you been?
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
Every time we go through this, I've been good too, Daddy. Thank you for asking.
Allah yahayiki. You're always good. Alhamdulillah.
Okay, what do you want to discuss today? Because you had one job for today, other than your voiceover,
uh-huh.
which was to come up with the discussion topic.
Well, you know what's been kind of occupying my mind lately?
Yes. Come, bush, bush. Say hi to the people. This is Bashabisha. She is the love of my life. And Daddy babysat her when I was in Thailand.
Yeah, that was a nice experience.
Right? She's just such a treasure to be around. Bless her. Yeah, so you were saying you've been thinking lately a lot about
difficulty and ease.
That the mankind goes through?
Yes.
Okay. Hit me.
Where does the difficulty come? Where does the ease come? And how we deal with both?
I would say, to sum it up, just in like the simplest terms, difficulty and misery comes from mankind itself, and all the ease comes from God.
No doubt.
No doubt.
No doubt.
Cue in your 10-minute monologue. Let's go.
Now, difficulty is definitely a man-created concept, and the more we kind of contribute, the more difficulty we create. And the more we think we becoming civilized or reaching the climax of culture, the more difficulty we create.
Yeah.
And it's all mind perceived. It's all in the mind, because we are not intended to live in any form of difficulty. We are intended to live in ease and in harmony with ourselves and with everything around us. And what does make us, where does this difficulty mainly, where does it come from? What is it in
the
our
ego.
Mind? Yeah, the ego.
Yeah.
And what is in the ego that kind of produces this difficulty and spread it around and make it a common feature is our sense of importance. The more we think we are important, the more we take ourselves and things around us seriously.
Yeah.
You know, nowadays you pay to go watch a comedian just to make you laugh for a few minutes.
Yeah.
But in reality, every house, every mosque, every small community, every group of friends should have a comedian. And everyone should be a comedian in a way or the other. Where does comedy come from? From the contrast of Evans.
It's from, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, some of the best comedy comes from ridiculing oneself.
Mm.
What he does, what he stands for, what he thinks. And you will find that those who have the thinnest of skin, that cannot take any criticism or
feedback
or even mickering, you if you want to
oh a little joke
criticism
here and there.
A joke
yeah.
Here, are the ones that are known to produce the biggest amount of difficulties,
yeah.
including wars.
Yeah.
Including wars. Because they have...
Well, God knows Bibi Netanyahu can't take a joke.
Yeah,
yeah, he looks like the kind of man who didn't share toys. You know,
look around, you'll find many of them in not only in this realm of politics, in work, in business, in families, like the brother that you cannot joke with, or the sister that is too sensitive that she will make a big fight out of
every little thing.
Or the partner is just waiting for you to...
to slip up so that they can hold it against you.
Yes. See where the difficulty comes from. While in reality, you're supposed to enjoy each and every small, even mishap.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I remember from my father, that when something goes wrong, and things always go wrong, you break a dish, something falls from your hand, you're carrying a watermelon and it just falls down, because these things happened mm-hmm. with me. And you know what is his first reaction? A slap in the face, maybe? Tell me how horrible I am because I didn't know how to do my job, maybe?
Your dad?
Scream at me?
No.
No, not at all. You know what he would do? It's okay. أخذت الشر وراحت.
Yeah, it took the bad energy and went.
تسلم إيد المهم إنك أنت سالم. The yeah. most important is that you, I remember in my high school, and it was almost around the mid-year, and I'm driving this big Suburban GMC going to my school, and it was just a brand new car, and I went, I don't know, I never experienced this before. Alhamdulillah, not after. Mm-hmm. I was like almost in a different realm of existence, driving. Like I spaced out completely with my thoughts.
Yeah.
And the only thing I saw is this huge red bus in front of me at the traffic light, and a foot slammed into it. The car got damaged.
Total?
No. It's a few thousands, but it's a good amount of money at that time. But the other car also got damaged. So I call my father. And I do not remember him reprimanding me or telling me you should drive safe or what. Where have you... I drove him 4 or 5 times to Jordan and back. Mm. I started to drive very young. And we lived in Saudi Arabia. They used to give us something called... It wasn't a license. It was tarkhis at that time called. If you are below 18.
It's like a permit, but you have to have a legal driver next to you. Yes, kind of that yes, kind of vibe. Yes. Yeah.
And it was a good thing because it helped big families, especially.
Yeah.
Especially that my father was not good at driving. So he never made me feel like guilty for this that it happened.
Yeah.
And he even went all the way and hid that story from my mother because she would overreact.
Yeah.
He didn't tell her about the accident, where the car went. And it was a hefty amount of money at that time.
Yeah.
But all what I heard from him is, tif darijlak.
Yeah.
And this is where ease come from. And difficulty, where difficulty comes from. From us resisting that which must happen. Mm. And also over exaggerating our importance and being oversensitive.
Yeah. That's a great thing that you said there, that the difficulty comes from not accepting what must happen.
Because it must happen. And you see, this is something you can learn from if you're starting a project or a marriage, or things will go wrong. And they will go wrong more than they go right.
Yeah.
And if you if you're going to go all the time and hammer each other for it and trying to correct it against the inertia of life itself, things will break. Because all what you're doing is you're creating difficulty that has no it is not there. For things to go wrong every now and then, it's part of life itself. And to be able to take that and turn it into sarcasm or humor why is it that we always remember old bad times with kind of nostalgia and fun when the tragedy or the trauma is over?
I don't know.
Because that's how things are. You know, you can laugh at things.
I think you only look back fondly over a tragic memory if you've accepted it and seen the blessing in it. But yes. There are a lot of people that still look back at negative memories with a lot of hatred and vitriol and bitterness in their
hearts. Because I'm too good for that to happen to me.
And there's a lack of acceptance that this was what God decreed needed to
happen. Exactly. So unless we understand the concept of ease and difficulty and where it comes from and what is our participation into it and how can we turn it that even the difficult time looks like ease.
Yeah.
Because you know, there is this kind of delusion that we need to always be at ease and always happy. And you see, I see this a lot watching some of those talk shows.
Yeah.
That people kind of think it's God's obligation to make them happy continuously.
Yeah.
And life is so bad that they are not experience that climax of happiness in you know, life is not an amusement park. Life has amusement parks.
Yeah.
And you need to go from between an amusement park and the other. There might be roads, hills, and swamps. But hopefully you will reach the other one. But how long can you stay in one?
Yeah.
To move.
I saw a video once where someone was saying the audacity that someone needs to have to think that they're entitled to go through this dunya and this entire life without ever being offended or something not going their way or being heartbroken or just not having their way, basically. And it's so true. When you see people have a visceral reaction to things not going as planned, and I've seen the panic in their eyes, and it's almost this panic with, how could this happen to me? And I've seen the difference and how unattractive that is, and the difference between someone, something happens and they're like, it's okay, we'll figure it out. There's something so attractive about someone who just trusts God's plan.
If you don't trust God's plan, don't start your own plan.
Okay.
Because you have no
bars. Bars, daddy.
If you do not trust God's plan, do not start anything of importance, because you'll be tested. And even when you start things, all what you're doing is you're actually tapping on God's plan.
Yeah.
Because if it was not planned, you will not reach it. You will not see it. You will not conceive of it.
I posted a quote the other... You know how every now and then I post my list of quotes? So a few days ago I did. And then I titled it from this, okay? It was this picture.
Mm.
And it just says, God will steer the boat, but you must row. And this is what I've said time and time again about Isa'i Abdi Ubas'amak. God will steer you. God has a plan. God wants you to win. God is going to protect you. All of these remain true no matter what. But you must row. You must do what you need to do. And it doesn't just mean the hard work and then complaining. It's body, mind, and spirit. It's the physical labor, and it's the mental and spiritual labor of love, affection, kindness, and I say it all the time, but and it's how you view God and His love towards you. So God will steer the boat, but you must row.
And if it is true that calamity and tests and difficulties are of a negative value to the human.
No, never.
Then God Jalla Jalaluh has done his prophets, especially the beloved one sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, has done them no good, because no one
was tested like the prophets.
Like them. Yeah. And no one was tested like Sayyid al Khalq, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. So
you know, when we were in Thailand, it's a very interesting thing, because the girls and I love doing charity in private. When we withdraw cash, and every person who helped us carry a bag, opened the door, drove us anywhere, we just tipped and tipped and tipped, just because we were so grateful to be where we were. And we every day we're like, we're in Thailand together, you know? Because we started from nothing, and look at where we are, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
And so the 1,000 baht, which is their currency, if I pronounced it correctly, is around 100 dirhams, which is around 19 Jordanian dinars, which is around $27, right? Just so everyone has a reference. And I'd order room service, for example, and I'd give, each time they'd get me the food or come take the trays, 1,000. I swear, Dad, the shock on their face of, no, it's too much. 100 dirhams is too much. And you're talking to someone, again, I've said this a million times, who couldn't afford noodles a couple of years ago. Like, you and I both know how much at a time 100 dirhams did seem like a lot. And now giving it to someone who has that reaction, it's just, it's so humbling. So if you think you have it bad, there are people out there that are like, a $20 tip is too much.
That shows that they're good people, because he thinks maybe you don't know the currency. That's why you're doing it.
Yeah, and I looked at him, I was like, no, it's not. Take it. This is for you. And even here in Dubai, because, you know, it gets really hot in the summer. Every time delivery shows up, I try to remember when I have small bottles of water. I ask them, do you want water? The shock on their faces, like, yes, ma'am, please. They're just so happy that you offered a bottle of water. And it reminds me of our discussion previously, that any opportunity you have to be kind, that you don't take that opportunity to be kind, you are actually committing a sin, because you're taking away the good that you can do and the good that someone can receive. And I think Victor Hugo said, every man is committed of the good that he did not commit.
Yes. And when you say committing a sin here, you're committing a sin on yourself.
Yes, first and foremost, ala hala.
Ala hala. Yeah. You it's like you're losing an opportunity
to be good and to do good.
But we don't want anybody to come and tell you that's not a sin, because a sin is the...
Oh, I'm not justifying. Okay. No, we're not doing that.
Because some of those comments are...
Honestly, just a side note about this. I can't be bothered with these comments anymore.
It's okay.
The amount of hatred in the Muslim community blows my mind.
It's called indoctrination, unfortunately.
I'm going to say one thing. You're going to get upset at me for saying this, but I'm going to say it. My sister called me the other day, okay? And she was like, Ashura just passed. And I just did some research, and this is the first time I know what Ashura is. Because Shireen's been in France for 10 years, so excuse her ignorance. And she was crying to me on the phone. She's like, how could this have happened? And I was like, it's so interesting to me, because that's also my reaction, you know? But people will accuse you of being a Shia for just caring about a Muslim figure being killed. The amount of propaganda in the Muslim community is shameful. And it comes from the worst of places. But I have to say it. I'm over these labels and these conversations and pick a side. And I don't care. I'm Muslim.
No, I don't pick a side.
I don't care.
I do pick one side.
The Prophet alayhi salatu
wasalam. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi.
And this is my most controversial opinion that I will ever give, and I'm going to make it very short, but I will stand by it till the day I die. I don't care about picking a side, because it came after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam passed away. Sunni Shia means nothing to me. I care about our book, I care about our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and I care about the haqq. And I love all Muslims who are just trying to do right while the limited time they have on this dunya. And it is all I care about till the day I die. I will take this to my grave. It is the hill I will die on.
What I would say, this is my stance. What I would say is, Islam is a big umbrella. It holds all.
Yeah.
Now, to dissect it down towards personal vendetta and
political agendas.
Yes,
and
polarization.
Yeah.
That's not the message of God. That's the message of the devil.
Yeah.
You can call it, and then whatever you want to call it. This is not Islam. And if that which is what is happening, then it's not different from any other religion that's been hijacked by powers and interest. And we're witnessing this. This is happening to
100%
us.
100%, yes. My only thing is, and I know I'm not a sheikh or whatever. There's a word in Arabic, العالم, علم. What's the word?
العلماء.
العلماء. But to me, it's like anything that came after the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, I'm like, not my problem. Not.
Well, I may disagree. It's in the sense that
I'm saying the labels that came of pick this side and pick that side.
Picking sides is a wrong thing.
But any history and traditions and a lot of tafsir that came after, a lot of it is beautiful and very valuable. That's not what I'm talking about. But anything that has to do with bringing us together rather than dividing us.
I was born in a Sunni simple family. My father didn't even follow a madhab. Yeah. I grew up and I started to research and this and that. And I ended up following the madhab al-Hanafi.
Yeah.
And then I found that, and I went through and studied all, especially the Maliki more than any. Yeah. And then I became very fond of the madhab Shafi'i.
Yeah.
But I'm still Hanafi. I had a very good exposure to the Ithna Ashar, which is what you call Shia, and deep reading on. And you know what? I find so much common between, because this is all Islam, and all this division and all of this anti came with agendas after that.
Of course.
I'm not concerned with this.
I don't want to go into the details of it because I know you don't want to, because it's not even the point of this. I'm just saying, the same way we talk about, for example, Ma Palestine, when they distract you, or with world things, like with COVID, they distract you. Do you know what I mean? The same thing with our religion. There are a lot of distractions, and I've just reached the point now where any hatred, any vitriol, any agenda, the more you push to me, like when we did a video about a year ago, because I love Arabic proverbs and Arabic quotes, like, even the Mutanabbi, you know what I mean? When I would be researching, I'd come across quotes from Imam Ali. And this was, mind you, before I ever even understood the difference between Sunni and Shia. And we were filming an episode that had nothing to do with Sunni and Shia. It was just the way you and I speak. And I had said, Imam Ali said, do not inherit your religion. The hundreds of comments of you're a Shia, unfollow. The shock that I went, I was like, what is happening right now? And I know people who, and this is what blows my mind with the Muslim community. There are a lot of Muslims out there that are friends with Christians, but if they discover you're a Shia, it's, no, Shia, stay away from me. What? Just this division. I'm just talking about the mabda of the division.
This disease is not new.
No, it's not new.
You remember,
all the time.
Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, he was like, 100 plus years after the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi. And he writes, he was a poet, one of the best.
One of the best, I agree. Yes, yes, yes.
And he says, إِذَا فِي مَجْلِسٍ نَذْكُرْ عَلِيَّ وَصِبْطَيْهِ وَفَاطِمَةَ الزَّكِيَّ يُقَالُ الله, the memory of your father, إِذَا فِي مَجْلِسٍ نَذْكُرْ عَلِيَّ وَصِبْطَيْهِ وَفَاطِمَةَ الزَّكِيَّ. يقال تجاوزوا يا قوم هذا فهذا من حديث الرافضية برئت إلى المهيمن من أناس يرون الرفض حب الفاطمية, which means whenever we are in a majlis, in a sitting, and we mention Ali and Fatima, they will point at us and say, oh, he's a Rafidi, يعني Shi'i, he's a Shi'i. And that Imam Shafi'i, and he says, if they're telling us, avoid this, don't mention those, because if you mention them, it means that you are a Shafi'i, a Rafidi. You see, محبة أهل البيت ومحبة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وآل بيته الكرام is an essential part of our religion.
Of course. Of course.
As a Sunni. Now, إخواننا Shia, they have, their way with this. And I look at that with so much great respect and love. But I'm still a Sunni, and I'm still...
That's what I'm saying. You can still have your beliefs and have... But as long as, even like you're saying, you're a Sunni, but you still have respect for your Shia brothers and sisters. That in itself, and that mentality, and that MO unifies. And it's still unity, and it's still under the umbrella of Islam. Because like you said, Islam is an umbrella that encompasses a lot of different...
I will say it with open heart and with open... I don't have respect for them. I have love for them.
Yeah, both.
I really.
Both. But that's what it's the jama', it's the bringing us all under the tawahud and the oneness. The oneness.
Yes.
All my life you raised me to understand Islam. You always broke it down to it's the oneness.
It's the oneness
of God. It's the oneness of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. It's the oneness of the ummah. It's the oneness, everything that brings us together. And then growing up and being exposed, especially to social media and this haram police where I'm public enemy number one, it's the opposite. It's the divide, break, judge. It is, the amount of vitriol is overwhelming. And I will say this with my chest, that is not Islam.
They will find fellow Muslims that they will praise you because you are good to a Christian brother. Yeah. But they will attack you because you mention another Muslim of a different sect in a good way.
That's what I'm saying.
like whom are we serving here?
I'm glad we talked about this because yesterday I posted my little video about Leave Britney Alone where I was like, if you're in my DMs, just daddy, go be perfect away from me. And then I got a lot of messages where they're like, dissect this with Baba on the episode, just this haram police. So I'm glad it came organically because there's something, I know I've said this before, but I'll say it again. You will never convince me that if you come at someone with judgment and with this holier-than-thou attitude and trying to point a wrong, even when you're like, oh, brother, sister, please, for you, I want to see you in Jannah one day, because the audacity and the ego that you have to think that you're going to heaven. I don't walk this earth like I'm going to heaven.
He wants to see you in Jannah because he's sure going there.
Because he's surely going there. That's what I'm saying. When I think of heaven and hell, I'm always like, oh, I hope I'm doing my part. It makes me cry, honestly. I'm like, you can't. I will never wake up thinking that it's guaranteed for me.
It's never guaranteed.
It's never guaranteed. But I will always do my best to do good, to try to get there, just to try to emulate what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam wanted us to do. But that's what I'm saying. Those people who give advice because they're like, I want to see you in Jannat al-Firdaus with me. They're talking to you. That's why I'm saying it never comes from a good place, because they're talking to you as if their place in heaven is already guaranteed. That'll never make sense to me. Do you see what I mean?
I more than see what you mean.
But in Islam, we were told to give nasiha to... But no, when you're giving it because deep down you think your place in heaven is guaranteed.
There are rules. There are rules and there are prerequisites for any of this. I always say, we are not preaching. We are not trying to teach you anything. We're trying to share a common...
about ourselves.
We've been through and what we've learned. And what we
learned. And even when I say on this podcast, when I go like, if you do this, you're an idiot, I'm actually... Bless your soul, people. Wallahi, I love you all. But I'm not talking to you. I'm actually talking to myself through my dad.
Yes.
Because I was once that idiot. And I'm kind of reminding myself never to be that idiot again. If you take from that and you learn from that, amazing. And I never give people unsolicited advice. And when someone asks me for advice, I'm always like, are you sure? Because I will not lie to you. And I will be very tough love with it. Because that's how I am with myself. But when... Anyway, you... We've said this before, but you know what I mean. Anama.
Very much.
I just...
Find that which gathers you, which bonds you, which brings you closer to each other. And
oneness.
And no one assigned you as Khazin al-Jannah.
Yeah.
No one assigned you as the gatekeeper of Jannah. You,
yes.
No one. And you cannot claim to be, because you know, if you're more concerned with your own faults and bad deeds and
how much we've said this, how much I've said every person who's ever, you know, that whole thing about when you point a finger, there's always three pointing back at you. It's about the concept of every time you accuse someone of something, number one, you're projecting. Number two, it's go clean your own closet, because I guarantee you, you have a lot going on. And do you know how I will prove my statement? Rasul alayhi salatu salam, it is the only in the history of humanity who was perfect from A to Z. Which means we are, by default, at fault and here to improve and here to aspire and here to emulate. So if you're, I 100% know you're not heavy on your deen and busy doing well because you're too busy looking at others and focusing on their flaws and their mistakes. I'm too busy trying to do good and eat well and take my supplements and pray my five prayers and just make it through the day to even be bothered to look at what my brother or sister is doing wrong. That's insane to me. You have way too much time on your hands.
Alhamdulillah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. Rahimallahu mri'an inshaghala bi masawi'i nafsihi. Which means may Allah give bliss and mercy to that person who is busy with his own faults.
Yeah. But I think it's, alhamdulillah, I would like to believe that I am. I would hope I am.
The funny thing is, if we honest with ourselves and we go back and dissect each and everything we do, and we will find
so much fault.
In our intentions, the energy that drives us, what we want from it. Are we really claiming? Or like you can brand yourself as you want. Branding yourself.
Self-branding, yeah.
is exactly what the devil did. Exactly. قال أنا خير منه.
It's the first sin, تكبر.
قال comparison. قبل التكبر جاء comparison.
Okay.
Comparison. هو the comparison produced vanity. قال أنا خير منه. And look. Like just watch and listen to people talk. And I watch those.
Okay, so see, this is, I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but I actually would like to discuss this because when I talked about the unsolicited advice, a lot of the comments were on our side. I want to say 20-30% were you're triggered by someone giving you advice. In Islam, we're told to give nasiha. And this is where I'm like, how do I say this? Yeah, I need to say this correctly. You can't be told something that allows you to move the way the devil moves and tell me it's hadith. Do you see what I mean? So you can't take that and then use it to boost your ego and then to move the way the devil moves and then to compare and come say you're better than me.
You can use everything to feed the ego.
Yeah.
You can use the Quran,
but then
the
it's
hadith,
the wrong way.
The history. Yeah, of course. Those...
Yeah. There are people that have even taken the Quran and twisted it to fit their own nasty agendas.
Those great sources are being given to us to refine ourselves, to overcome the devil within us, which is the ego.
Yeah.
And to become as angelic, as spiritual, as holy, as straight as possible as you can.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, none of those salihin, none of those great ones ever saw himself better than... You remember last time we were talking about Kabir al-Muhaddithin fi al-Sham?
Yes, and he told about the story where he told one of his disciples to go to a brothel.
Naam, Sidi al-Hasani, Sidi...
You remember the name?
Allah, Badruddin al-Hasani.
Told you guys to remember it.
Sidi Badruddin al-Hasani. Just go and read about him. Just read little. What a great man, how he lived and how he spent his life from the age of 8, 9, a genius, till the last day he was on earth. Yeah. And then he sends money to a brothel.
Yeah.
In Eid, and asks the then work
to pray for him.
And you think he was doing this to get likes on his social app? He genuinely thinks they are better than him. You know, in one of the stories from the old Salihin, a man is walking with his student in the night, in the mud. It's a muddy day, and it's a rainy night, and the street is very narrow. And there is a dog coming from the other side. And the student kind of want to hush the dog. So the master tells him, tell me that you are better than him. Prove to me that you are better than him. At least this animal will not end up being questioned at the last day. But you will. See, you cannot see yourself even higher or better than an animal.
It's the adab of being a Muslim.
It's the adab of being a Muslim.
It's to know your place, and I mean this in a humbling way.
In a humbling way.
But also to know your value, because God took his time to make you, and he talks about how his love for us. We've always talked about this. It's the fine line between your insignificance, but then how important you are.
You know, when you see people risking their life to save a puppy.
Yeah.
That's how a Muslim is.
Yeah.
Because each and every life is valuable. So he might be of any other religion, this man, but he's acting like a real Muslim.
I'll tell you, I'm going to cry saying this story. I know I will, because I know you know this. There was a man, and he looked from the Far East, Asia, Central Asia, Far East, in America, so one of these immigrants, and his son was murdered.
Oh, he was Indonesian.
I know,
I saw that.
The Indonesian man whose son was murdered, and in trial sits across his son's murderer and tells him, I forgive you.
And hugs him.
And that is... this is what it means to be a
Muslim. I cried watching that. Oh, I really cried watching that.
You can't help but cry, because this is the essence of Islam. This is, and I will say it till the day I die, the Palestinians' resilience, respect, the way they move is just so different amidst the chaos and the bloodshed. Moms losing their children losing their parents, and just the acceptance, I've never seen anything like it. You know, it's so humbling. And then you have people who want to come tell you what to do. And it's just like, just be quiet and watch those who are actually better than you and how they move and try to be the way they are, just to, out of respect. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
I try to do this even in managing.
Can I have a tissue, baby?
In managing whatever business I have. I tell the people that help me manage, with your team, with the people that work for you, don't focus on their negative things that, what is the right word in English, Baba? That things that they don't do right.
Their shortcomings. Yes.
Focus in their positives. Ooh. Focus in the things that they are good on.
Yeah.
Enhance that. Complement
your thoughts
that.
Thoughts alone will manifest it. Will allow it to grow and metastasize it. You know the word I'm trying to look for. In reality,
you see, this is how growth is. This is how life grows.
Yeah.
Life always seeks. Look at how a tree grows in the jungle. It seeks light.
But wallah, I should have said. I don't know if I sent you this video, but I saw a video of I want to say she's an African American woman in her garden. She was talking to the tree like it's Basabiso, my cat, asking her to hug her, to touch her, to say hi. Dad, it moves. Hi, Habibi. I've never seen anything like it.
I saw things that I don't know if I can say.
I talked about one story when we used to film with Nitu at Potster. About the smell of jasmines, and the OG followers will know, because I cried and then they cried watching it.
I saw things. I don't like to challenge people.
I don't like to talk about these things, because I feel like they're gifts and little blessings. Like that one story I shared, alhamdulillah, all good things, but there are some things, just out of respect, I like to keep the blessing.
Just keep it simple. My advice to everyone, just keep it simple. Look at the small things that bring joy to you and to the people around you. Enhance that. Do more of it. And if you see a negativity, be patient. If you see a, what did you call it?
Shortcoming.
Yes. Turn your face to... غض النظر. This is part of غض النظر.
Yes. And a sutur.
A sutra.
Isn't one of the names of Allah.
As-Sattar.
So when I spoke the other day about if God chooses to hide your sins, and people, this is what I'm saying about the dumbest people are the loudest.
They're loud.
And commenting about, no, your sins always come to light. One of God's 99 names is As-Sattar. He usturs alayk, he hides your sins, he covers for you. He gives you a million chances for a do-over in private. But people, again, seem to think that their ego and what they decree is right or wrong trumps what God has decreed is right or wrong.
نرجع تاني للإمام علي عليه السلام الله رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله الكرام يقول أنا على مدينة العلم وعلي بابها. يعني he's the ultimate knowledge after رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله الكرام. He said ما جادلت جاهلا إلا وغلبني أو كما قبل كما قال بلفظ أو خصمني أو غلبني. I've never argued with a jahil an ignorant except that he won.
Yeah, of course. Do you know how much you lose talking to an idiot? Number one, your self-respect. Because you don't respect yourself enough that you're talking to someone who doesn't listen and who's going to insult the nuggets of wisdom that you are sharing.
It takes a lot.
It takes your energy. It takes everything.
Yes. It takes a lot of knowledge to acknowledge that you are an ignorant.
Speaking of ignorance, I will say one thing. This is something that I've been thinking about. It's off topic. But because we mentioned Palestine for a little bit, I will say it. Piers Morgan. I have to say something. I just have to say something. I have a word to say to all my Palestinian brothers and sisters who are on this side of the world, going on talk shows like Piers Morgan's. The audacity that this man had to say condemn before he even gave you a chance to speak, and then decreed if you were even a respectable human enough for him to even give you that respect. This is something that blows my mind, and it's something that we've fallen victim to time and time again, which is why I told you now, don't justify what I said about committing a sin, because I refuse to be put in a corner where I have to justify every word I say. But they put us in a position where we have to condemn before I'm even allowed to explain to you why I'm human and why I deserve to live. As if a white man in his 60s is the one who decrees what is right and wrong and what is halal and haram. I have a God who told me what is right from wrong, and I'll follow him before I follow a white man any day. And I hate that Arabs are always pushed into a corner where we have to beg and plead and condemn our own people and our own cause before I even have to explain to you why I'm human enough to deserve a seat at the table and why you should let my people breathe. Never, like, this needs to stop. Do you get what I'm saying? Abel, before I even let you speak, Baba, I have to tell you, are you agreeing with me? Do you agree with me? Do you say that everything that I say is right? Yes? Okay, now tell me why.
Well, it's pushing you into defeat and submission before you've
even had a chance to explain why you're just as human.
Before the match starts, even.
That's what I'm saying. They push you into a corner where they belittle you and they hammer you and they take away pieces of your soul before you even get to stand up and say, "Tab ana bani Adam."
I'm not a big fan of media.
No, I'm not a fan of media either.
I don't remember the last time I watched BBC or what is that American channel?
Fox News?
No, the other one.
I don't know.
That was so famous before. Oh.
I don't watch
I'm glad I forgot the name of it too.
I don't know the name because I don't watch them.
Because I used to 20 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
The only thing we could do is hope that they would tell us a word of truth. But
I know. But I want to phrase this more properly. What I'm saying about shows like the Piers Morgan show.
CNN. Yeah.
I know what you mean. Bismillah, what was I saying? Yeah. What I'm trying to say about those shows like the Piers Morgan show, when we have Arab Muslims and Palestinians coming on board, trying to fight for the cause, fighting absolutely and succeeding, it's the fact that they've been badgered and hammered and forced into a corner of agree with what I say first, condemn, say you're on my side and you agree with my political statements first, and if you don't, I'm going to say you're a lunatic and I don't respect you, and if you do, then I'm going to be like, oh, now you have a chance to speak. And they force you to beg and plead and justify before you even explain why you're human. And I'm so over it. I'm so over it because we don't have to do that.
You know, I actually don't watch any of those. I know Piers Morgan, and I don't watch any of, because I know the results from before. I know where this is leading. I know why it is there and what is the process needed from it. And the results are already written before the match.
Yeah, of course.
So I'd rather watch something that teaches me about the human nature.
Now, a lot of people argue that those platforms just allow Palestinians to even come on. Yes and no. But I'm just talking about this thing that we Muslims have, because غير إنه خانقنا بعض, because we talked about today, like the fighting, the internal fighting and fighting each other, but even that to me is just, it's a different form of us losing externally. Do you get what I mean? I just,
my interest and focus has been always
the religious aspect. I know
the religious and spiritual aspect.
Yes, I understand.
I understand how. I kind of, in my 30s, I really understood how this game worked. And I remember I was 34 then.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Half your age, almost.
There was a big event happening in the world. And I'm leaving the work, and they call me, my colleagues. And Khalid, come, tell us, because you're good at this. Tell us what is happening. And I looked at them and I said, I have few functioning cell brains. I would rather keep them for something worthy. And still do the same. I don't bother with.
There was, I'm sure you didn't watch this, but Candace Owens hosted this man called Nick Fuentes on her show. And I just have to say one thing, given the 2 hours that I spent watching that man had the audacity to talk about how every modern invention and anything good and smart came from Europeans and Western civilization, and that nothing came from anywhere else, as if Arabs didn't invent algebra, as if the number zero didn't come from us, as if we didn't invent coffee, as if we didn't refine engineering to what it is today, as if all those Gothic churches weren't based on the Muslim architecture. Just any idiot can just go on ChatGPT now and ask about what are inventions that came from the Arab world or Islam. And you will have a list of things from ChatGPT. So to refute that, to me, in this day and age, it's like, have some self-respect. I'm all for, if you want to talk about how great Western and European civilization is, you have the right to have that debate. But with respect, give credit where credit is due. This is what I'm saying. They whitewash everything. They take everything away from us. And then they want us to go on shows like Piers Morgan and justify why we deserve to exist. Aha.
To be accurate,
I'm riled up about this. I watched this episode the day before yesterday. I'm so sorry.
It's actually the Muslims. And Khawarizmi was a Persian, but he was a Muslim.
Yeah.
And
that's why I said Arab world and Muslim yes, world, because I'm Arab and Muslim.
I would focus on the concept of Islam more, because most of the great things came under the umbrella of Islam.
Yes.
And
I just have to add this. He even said something, and if I'm not mistaken, if anyone's watched the episode, he even said something about chemistry and chemical advancements. I know it's the Muslim world.
Ibn Hayyan.
Thank you very much.
The good thing about those Muslim scholars that they acknowledged even where they got this from. The numbers and the algorithms and even algebra.
Chemistry and engineering. Distillation apparatus invented by Jabir ibn Hayyan led Jabir to perfumes, alcohols and acids.
Yes.
Mineral acids, nitric, sulfuric, hydrochloric. First produced by Islamic chemists. And they're even specifying Islamic chemists.
Yes. Yes.
Gunpowder recipes and rockets improved by Hassan al-Ramah.
Improved, that's improved.
Improved. It says,
because
it's
the Chinese
said,
were the ones.
Even said improved.
And
I even said refined engineering. Because there's a lot of Muslim scientists who refined a lot of things that already existed.
Even mathematics, we took it from the Indians.
We invented and zero.
We did.
This is known.
Yeah, yeah.
With algebra and the number zero came from us.
The concept of zero and algebra. But a lot was taken from the Indians. The thing about the Muslims, they acknowledged where it came from. And they kept, you know, the Greek and the Roman books that we had in our libraries before.
You know, it's actually, there is a mention of that. I honestly, I'm a fan of ChatGPT right now. I'm not going to lie. There is a mention of this. Wait, I'm going to find it. Legal and philosophical contributions, philosophical synthesis, Greek and Islamic thought by thinkers like Al-Farabi, Ibn Rushd,
Averroes,
and Al-Ghazali.
And Al-Ghazali, naham.
And it's, see, even ChatGPT is telling you Muslims credited the Greeks to how we developed our remaining.
Yes.
Am I making sense?
I studied all of this at a very early age. And you know.
But then you have a white man sitting with the audacity.
I don't care.
I care. Because someone, do you know what bothers me just a little bit? And it's a little bit of a, how do I explain this properly? In our side of the world, and this is something that I love about us, especially like Palestinian Arabs, Muslims and Christians, we speak English better than Americans. Do you know what I mean? So we have our culture and we can debate you and beat you at your own language. And you can't even come near me because you can't even speak my language. You can't talk to me about my trees. You can't tell me Zaytun. You don't know what it is. You can't pronounce Iraq or Iran. You say Iraq and Iran. I don't want to hear it. You don't have a shatafa. I don't want to hear it. Do you see what I mean? But, and this is something that I love, and you've always taught us, which is why you taught us French, English, Arabic, Spanish, German. You're like, go speak their language better than them.
Absolutely.
And we do, alhamdulillah. But what I'm saying is, why I care about it is that you have them, and you have the Candace Owens. I love Candace Owens and I love Tucker Carlson. Come at me all you want. I love them. But what I'm saying is you have them, but then you have the horrible people like Pierce or Nick Fuentes or whatever, right? You have the good and the bad, but they have these public international platforms. From our side of the world, the most educated and the most amazing that I've been blessed to hear are speaking in Fusha and in Arabic, which I sometimes even have difficulty understanding. What I'm saying is we don't have someone on their level fighting back.
True.
You have some Muslims, but I'm not talking about and you have, for example, Muhammad al-Kurd, I love him, he's a Palestinian activist, phenomenal. But he's also like, I'm not even wasting my time with these people, which I appreciate. What I'm saying is I would love to see a Candace Owens from our side, speaking in English.
Allah Kareem.
And I know in our side of the world, unfortunately, politics and certain things, we can't really touch that much and we have to be really careful. I get it. But I want to see someone fight back with like, with the intelligence, with the ability to debate respectfully, with the ability to hear an opinion they don't agree with, but still have a respectful debate. And with Candace and Nick, I have to chapeau bas to her. She would look at him and be like, I fundamentally disagree with you, but we can still have a conversation. You don't see that anymore.
Well, we have, actually, there are great brains outside, but it's all about...
It's what I'm saying is we don't necessarily have them on a platform.
Because they are not allowed to.
I know, or with the audience that... I know, it's the freedom of speech thing. I get it.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. But you can. But there is still a lot that you can say. You know what I mean? I say a lot.
Alhamdulillah.
I say
Alhamdulillah.
The most. I'd be out here
yapping. I say very little to none.
I yap.
but...
The
way I see it is a bit different. The way I see it is all about the deep understanding of what is happening and what is the situation, and that's.
Baba, listen. Let me tell you something. The stuff that Candace Owens is waking up to now, and she's even saying like, "I've just woken up to this. I used to be a Zionist. I like now that she's the first person from their world that I've seen go on Piers Morgan and go like, oh, but they're chanting for death to America in Iran, and she was like, yeah, she's the first person I've ever heard go like, why. Do you think they just woke up one day and decided to be crazy? Maybe it's because of all the damage we caused there. I've never heard someone from their side speak that way. But she's waking up to this. What I'm saying is we've, al-Arab, like any person in the street you come across, like we all know where 2001, 9/11 came from. Like we all know all of this min zaman. But what I'm saying is we don't have, I forgot what I was saying, Daddy.
You're talking about having someone like Candace Owen?
No, you were saying you know where it all came from. I'm saying, yeah, we all do here. They don't. So, which is why I love people like Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens coming out and speaking the way they do. It's so, you have to admire being raised in an entirely different part of the world with an entirely different agenda and propaganda and still snapping out of it. It takes tremendous.
What you say, I take my chapeau. Chapeau bas. For them, because it's one of the most difficult things.
Snap out and unlearn everything you've
exactly.
learned. That's what I'm saying. Especially And she talked about this. She's like, even after 9/11, she's like, the amount of Muslim hate propaganda, she's like, I have to apologize to Muslims because I was infiltrated with this fear of them. But do you know what it takes to wake up to that, to question, to apologize, to be like, I used to be on that side and I'm waking up? It's phenomenal. I have to give Candace Owens so much respect for that. And it's not about, oh, someone's finally come out to defend us. It's about the level of humility, self-awareness, to take a step back and go like, whoa, I need to kind of poke and probe and unlearn and relearn. That's mentally, it's phenomenal. You have to pay credit where credit is due. I love her.
I think no one ever thought that those platforms and open media that we have now will kind of enable people
to wake up.
To wake up.
Yeah, people get their news now from social media. And there's a new, I don't know if you've seen him, he's a new dude. He's come out, I think, in the past year or two, Ian Carroll.
No.
I think he's 25 or 26. He's a young boy. Mm-hmm. But what a beautiful soul. How, Baba, he cracked the code on everything.
Send me a link for him.
I will. And he's super into, especially what they put in food.
That's my specialty.
You would love Ian Carroll.
Which?
Great person to watch.
I just keep my mouth
shut. Sorry, we went on a rant, but these are just things that I've been thinking about recently. Like everything we discussed today are just things that have been on my mind.
Alhamdulillah. Keep it simple. Keep it easy. Yeah. And yeah.
We can wrap it up if you want to.
Very much.
How long has it been? You know, it's 1 a.m., Papa. I have to zoom in with my camera to see because I'm medically blind. 57 minutes. Okay, yeah, we're good.
Alhamdulillah.
That's all I wanted to say. Today was more like just us discussing things. I think we got into a lot of really beautiful things. Are you trying to push the mic away before I've even said assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh? No, I'm not.
He was. You were.
No.
When
I'm
you
not.
Giggle,
no, I'm not.
It's because you're lying.
Because I'm guilty?
Yeah.
Okay, guilty as accused.
Thank you so much, Daddy. Thank you for today's conversation. Thank you for always laughing with me, shedding tears, and also being very patient with me because I tend to lose my marbles at you every now and then. You push my marbles.
Well, that's my job.
It is your job. But I, well.
Oh, yes.
Actually, you know what? I'll take it, yes. But I should contain myself.
You know, we get angry or we get kind of agitated when our norm and comfort is being...
I won't say it's the norm and comfort. Yes, I agree with what you're saying, and yes. But in this particular thing that we're discussing, it's not the norm and comfort. It's more of the... Because that is a me thing. Like, I deal with that. It's more of the sometimes the frustration and the just feeling like I'm suffocating. It's the one thing that happens every now and then. But it's okay. Because it comes with a lot of gratitude.
Alhamdulillah.
This is, just to wrap it up, to go back to the beginning of this conversation of difficulty and ease. I think I just need to do a little bit more research about that and sit and talk to you. Because I know a lot, but it wasn't meant to happen today. About the difficulty and ease, though, just the last thing that I'll say. I said this before with Sarah, I think. Or did I say it with you? Did I tell you about the interview with Stephen Colbert where he said, I've learned to love the things I most wish had not happened?
No.
Okay. So, Stephen Colbert was being interviewed. I've mentioned this before, guys, so I'm saying it again. Stephen Colbert was being interviewed, and he was reminded of a quote that he had just said, something that he had just said. And he said, I have learned to love the things I most wish had not happened, for what punishments from gods are not gifts. It makes me cry every time. And that is the difference between being a difficult person and a person who genuinely, his soul wants ease in life. What punishments of God are not gifts? To be alive is to suffer, but that suffering is the most beautiful thing in the world. If you see everything as a blessing and a gift from God, the more pain you go through, I promise you, the better you come out. It molds you, it shifts you, it makes you who you're meant to be. And there's such a beauty in the suffering. If you let go and you allow it to happen, drown. Let the wave take you. It's hard. Your body will fight.
Do not resist.
Your body will fight. Because when you're physically actually drowning, your body will fight it. And it will try to breathe and inhale the water and it becomes more painful. But allow yourself to go through the most painful thing you need to go through. When I tell you the light at the end of the tunnel is euphoric. God's gift to you directly min ido la'idak. Just let it happen. Don't resist.
Alhamdulillah.
Does that make sense?
Very much.
Yeah.
I remember many, many years teaching you guys how to swim, and I said, allow the water to carry you.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. Because the more you resist, the more the water.
And it's an interesting thing. And it's not about thinking. You actually need to let go, and your brain, heart, body, muscle, mind, soul needs to just click.
Click.
And when it clicks, khalas.
The water will carry you.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Daria. I love you so much. Allah, thank you for a great episode.
I love you too, Habiba.
And, salam alaikum
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Free Palestine.